Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's top shelf right there. I let that one go a little longer than I normally do. That's good stuff. Who is this, Jared? Jed, pardon me. I did it again.
This is Deadmau5, Brad. I didn't realize you were a big fan of Deadmau5. Do you know who
No, I got their older stuff, but the newer stuff for Deadmau5. I know Modest Mouse.
No, Deadmau5 is a obviously techno artist. He wears a giant mouse head when he does his sets.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, he's been to some of the award shows, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, now I know who you're talking about.
It seems like based off the understanding that I have about most electronic dance music, it seems like a real positive if you eat like a lot of ecstasy and stuff like that. But
ooh, ouch. We went there on a Sunday.
I mean, it's just an observation.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't listen to a lot of it, so but that seems like kind of the scene around that music.
Yeah, it's not really my bag. That's all. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall's back at the Rally House Studios. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. Players are now done for the workouts for the most part. There's a handful of guys that always stay after for extra work. Chris Jones, once again, is signing autographs. He's right in front of us. There's like a crush for Chris Jones. People are getting after it. A lot of other defensive linemen out here. And Jed, I'll tell you that there was all of a sudden I saw one guy look over to somewhere far away and got a hand signal from somebody. So maybe Patrick Mahomes was signing today because all of a sudden people just started racing far away from here from our broadcast location.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate people coming by and being near the broadcast, but
yes,
some of the people running away and not screaming things in the background is also
yes,
appreciated.
Or popping balloons.
See, I don't mind the popping balloons because,
well,
to me, it's just a pop noise. You're the one who gets all nervous.
Yeah, it makes me jump. Some things in my past, that I want to get into. Anyway.
Yeah, the mean streets you grew up on,
yeah,
Brad.
The mean streets of Parkville, Missouri. You don't even know. We've had a good show so far. We had Larry Johnson on in the first hour, former Chiefs running back, and then he ended up signing a ton of autographs over here in the 810 WHB tents. That was good stuff, wasn't it, Jed? We've had Larry on the phone several times, but first time we've had him in person. That was good. That was all good stuff. And if you missed it, you can get the podcast at 810WHB.com. So lots of good stuff with former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson. We talked a little bit about his career, a little bit about the current Chiefs and what he thinks of guys like Kareem Hunt and Damian Williams and Spencer Ware, Patrick Mahomes. We talked about some defensive players as well, talked about head coaching, and we talked about what Larry is doing now, doing a lot of good work for kids with science programs, for the STEM project, science and technology, and also with kids who have mental illness or mental disabilities. So good stuff that Larry Johnson is doing now to help kids in his community in South Beach in Florida, and he's bringing it to Kansas City. So he's expanding his program, and it's such good stuff. We also had Jarrett Sutton on, the former Missouri Tigers basketball star, talking NBA and college basketball. And as soon as Nate Bukady is done with his post-game interviews with the Chiefs, he's going to come over, and we'll talk a little Sporting KC. Their 1-0 win over Houston last night. Jed, what'd you say? Okay, sorry. Jed Marshall and I are in different places, so sometimes he has to tell me something, and I don't hear everything. So.
And sometimes, yeah, it's hard for me, too. I have to push buttons to say things only to you, and then I have to push other things to say things so that everyone can hear me. So, yeah,
right.
Remotes are always really fun for everybody involved.
Right.
But,
right.
Hey, out there at the Chiefs training camp, they're doing a great job.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yesterday, the chairman of the board, CEO of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, was in St. Joe. Talk about the Chiefs, talk about the season, talk about a variety of issues. Here is the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs and his questions and answers with the media in St. Joe.
Good morning, everybody. Let me start by saying that we've had a great couple of weeks here in St. Joe. We really appreciate the fans coming out, particularly today. I think we had 6,000 fans here. I know Coach Reed and the team appreciate the atmosphere the fans create for us. I thought the practice today was a good one with a lot of intensity, and we just appreciate everything that the university does in hosting us here in St. Joe.
Mark, it's been a long time, as you know, since the Chiefs had a young homegrown quarterback starting camp. What kind of event is this for the franchise, getting started here?
Well, there's a lot of excitement here in Kansas City and really around the country about Patrick. Obviously, he's a young man with a lot of skills, has a very high ceiling. He's going through the process in learning what it means to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. That learning process will continue during the preseason, and I'm sure once we get into the season. It's very exciting for the franchise. From a long-term perspective, if you can develop your own quarterback who can play at the top of the league, you create an opportunity over the course of the decade to win a championship, and that's what we're hoping that Patrick Mahomes does for us.
How have you evaluated just the job that Brett Veach has done since taking over and players from?
Yeah, we're a little past a year in terms of Brett's tenure with us, and I've mentioned this before, but going back to last summer, he joined us obviously late in the year from a football standpoint, but I thought he did a really nice job of making some additions to the team to get us ready for the 2017 season. Obviously, that's carried over this year. He's now had a chance to do a free agency. Thought he made some really good additions in free agency. And then I thought he did a good job of running the draft. And we've got some really nice draft picks. And it's good to see those young guys out here working on the defensive side. I think all those players are going to help us as we go into 2018.
Was part of the philosophy there that he was trying to change some of the culture as well with some of the defensive changes and some of the picks and the free agency?
Well, one thing that we really care about as a franchise is the culture and the character of the team. That's something that's very important to Brett Veach. And as he brought in players both through free agency and in the draft, he wanted to make sure each of those players was going to be a positive contributor in terms of the character of the football team. Obviously, we also made some pretty significant changes on the defensive side. We said goodbye to a couple of players who've meant a lot to this franchise for a decade, in Tom Bahaly and Derek Johnson. That's always a tough part of the business. But I thought Brett did a nice job of bringing in not only some free agents who could help us on the defensive side, but bringing in some young defensive players who hopefully will have as long a career as Tomba and Derek did with us.
Mark, Andy's talked a little bit about this during the offseason, about how excited he is for this season to see how it unfolds. Mark Donovan talked about Andy's excitement level for this season as well. Have you seen that from Andy in your dealings with him during the offseason?
Yeah, I have. You know, Andy's a pretty even-keel guy.
Yeah, right. But
watching him at practice during the OTAs, seeing him here at training camp, talking to him, he's clearly excited about what this 2018 team can do. He knows he has a bunch of outstanding offensive players, and he's working on plugging Patrick Mahomes into that, hoping that we can take the offense to another level. And, go get that trophy that we've been trying to get since Super Bowl IV.
Exactly. How have you seen that excitement level? What have you seen from him?
I would say it's a bounce in his step. I know that's a hard thing to imagine when you're talking about Andy, but truthfully, he seems energized. And it really goes all the way back to the off season. I think the thought of getting to take a young quarterback, mold him, something he's had a lot of success at in his career. He knows the capability of the skill players that are around Patrick. As somebody who's really an offensive guru, I think it's hard for him not to be excited. And when you have a young quarterback, it's not like you're near the end of the journey. You're at the beginning, and it should only get better each year.
Clark, could you tell us where you are with the NFL and the Chiefs' kind of stance on the national anthem?
Yeah. As you guys have probably read or seen elsewhere, the league and the players' union are discussing that policy right now. So there's really nothing to report on that. We're not doing anything on it. And until the league tells us what the policy is, there's nothing really to talk about.
Hey, Clark, just with that topic, have you had any discussions with players on the roster about where the conversation should go, how the two parties should make some form of a compromise?
We've not specifically talked about the anthem, but we have talked extensively about the league's and the Chiefs' social justice initiative, both in a group setting and with the players individually. I've talked to them about getting involved in the community and making a difference in causes they care about. Now, that's not something new for the Chiefs. It's something that's been going on here in Kansas City since my dad bought the team here in 1963. And we're extremely proud of the work that our players do in the community. We've had five guys win the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award over the years. And I've challenged the players to get out there and make a difference. And there's so many of them who have a great heart and spend a lot of time and want to get involved. And I've told them, look, we'll support you not only with human resources, but also financially in causes that you care about.
Just who some of those players are on the roster right now that you've talked about that could potentially help resolve the conflict between both sides?
Yeah, and for clarity, I wasn't suggesting that they could help resolve the conflict. I'm just saying that we have players who care about the community, right, and care about making a difference. And I think I would be betraying their confidence if I told you specifically the players that, you know, I've spoken to. I would rather them be the ones to bring it up to you.
Clark, can you talk about some of the guys who've been around a long time that you had to sort of move in a different direction? What made this time, this past year, sort of the time to make those decisions, whether it was Tom Burke or Derek or even Marcus?
Yeah, you know, every one of those situations is different. And it's part of the National Football League. It's part of professional sports that at some point it's time for a player to step away. Sometimes a change will benefit the player and the team. Sometimes, you know, it's time for a player to retire. And that's always a tough judgment call, right? It's a tough judgment call for the player individually. It's also a tough judgment call for the team. And that's something that, you know, Brett and Andy just have to work through on an annual basis. And in this particular case, it was the right time to move on from both Derek and Tamba.
Clark, you spoke about the excitement level and being around Andy and seeing all that. But when you come out to camp and you see the fans and how many people are out here today, what kind of sense do you get of how excited they are to see the team when the regular season starts?
Well, I think it just reinforces what I've seen in the community. And also, as I travel around the country, there's a lot of excitement about the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of that's focused on Patrick Mahomes and what he can do in our offense. I think, you know, probably one of the most entertaining parts of practice today was the red zone drill with the receivers working against the defensive backs. And the players were enjoying it. I think they were really feeding off the crowd that was right there behind them.
Clark, what do you think you get most out of having training camp here when the rest of the league is going sort of in the opposite direction?
Yeah. You're right about that. Most teams are having training camp at their facilities. I think the Chiefs and Andy Reid really enjoy getting the players and the coaches away from the facility for 3 or 4 weeks. It's a chance for the team to bond together. The facilities here are really second to none. They do a great job of taking care of us. But we're close enough to Kansas City where the fans have a chance to come up and watch practice like they did today.
You've mentioned that, you know, you want to bring in guys that have high character and the culture of the team. And if Graham had some off-season issues, do you guys have any concerns with him going forward?
Right. So the team's made up of a bunch of young men, right? And they're not always going to make the best decisions, but we have a strong support system, both with the coaching staff and also with our player development department that works with young guys and talks to them about the situations that they want to be in. You know, Kareem is a young man, second year in the league, obviously had a very big year on the field last year. I'm sure he learned some lessons this offseason and hopefully won't be in those kind of situations in the future.
Do you guys anticipate any kind of suspensions or anything for him going forward?
I really don't, but we tend not to be privy to those decisions that are made by the NFL.
You guys have led to Mexico City on the Monday Night Football to play the Rams. How important is that for the organization, and just what are some of the things you might have planned, like similar to the stuff in London?
Yeah, well, we're very excited to be going to Mexico City to play the Rams. When we went to London 3 years ago and played Detroit, that was a tremendous experience for the franchise. It ended up being a great experience for the fans who made it over. I'm hopeful that we'll have a lot of fans come down to Mexico City. And, you know, we're looking at opportunities to get those fans together like we did in London, give them a chance to celebrate and really tailgate across the entire weekend.
Okay, a few things. That's Chiefs owner, president, CEO, not the president, but he's the CEO, Clark Hunt, speaking with the media yesterday on several different topics. First of all, Jed, do you say 2018 or 2018?
I guess 2018.
Okay. It's a pet peeve of mine when people say 2018. And maybe I'm wrong for saying it the way I do. I just think it sounds strange, and it bothers me for some reason. This would be like the show on HBO, Larry...
Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David?
Larry David. That's what it would be like. Some
That'd
small
be a pretty
thing
tame version of that episode.
Well, something that seems minuscule that I shouldn't care about, but it does bother me. And you could turn a whole episode into something on Curb Your Enthusiasm based on something just so random. So a couple of things there. He talked about Chiefs training camp and why he likes having it in St. Joe and why Andy Reid likes having it in St. Joe, or at least away from the Chiefs facility at Arrowhead Stadium. They like to get the bonding time together, get away for 3 or 4 weeks, and if you've ever seen the weight room and the locker room here at Missouri Western in St. Joe, it's NFL, because the Chiefs helped pay for it to get built. The lockers are NFL size. They're exactly like the ones in the Chiefs locker room back at Arrowhead. The weight room is an NFL weight room. So they have everything here they need. They have fantastic dorms. You know, River Falls was kind of old and decrepit, and the bigger players would have to push two single beds together because they were so small. But here at Missouri Western, they have everything they need. They have a great dining facility, great practice facility. They have two grass fields. They have a turf field if they ever need it. So they like to get away, and that's a good thing. If they were to go back to Arrowhead Stadium ever, what element would be taken away from Chiefs training camp?
Well, I mean,
From the player stuff, there's a really big thing.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is they'd be taking away from the ultimate fan experience.
Exactly.
And also, if you want to continue, because the Chiefs brand themselves as a regional football team, they talk
right
about it being the Chiefs Kingdom or Chiefs Nation or what have you. If you want to continue to brand that and make it accessible to people, to put it an hour and a half north, yeah, maybe a little bit inconvenient for the players, but I think they get along okay up there. But you get people from Nebraska, Iowa, parts of Missouri who can't make it. You know,
Arkansas,
I mean, Arkansas,
Illinois.
You make it into an experience. And in addition, I know that this isn't a civic show, and the point of it is to have fun and talk sports.
Right.
But for the adjoining communities of St. Joe and, you know, people who live up north, I think it's great to raise, get people to spend money in what I consider the community that I live in, whether it be a little bit more of the extended version of it.
Right, and I've been staying at the Stony Creek Hotel, which if you're coming to St. Joe for a weekend or a couple of days, it's an outstanding place to stay. And I would bet, I'm just judging on people who come down for a breakfast in the morning, that like 80% of the people staying there are here for Chiefs camp, all wearing Chiefs jerseys and hats. So the hotels are making money, the restaurants are making money, everybody's making money. If you go back to Arrowhead and don't have it somewhere else, I mean, pick another place. If you want to move to another college, I wouldn't do it. I think they have a great relationship here at Missouri Western, and their AD, Josh Looney, who we had on yesterday, used to work for the Chiefs. So I think it's a great place. But if you want to move it, fine. But don't move it back to Arrowhead, because then none of these fans can get out there. They're not going to let you into the practice facility at Arrowhead Stadium. That's not going to happen. There's not enough room for everybody who would want to go. You would have to give out, like, individual tickets online or only season ticket holders or something, because they're just not the space. So I think I agree with Mr. Hunt. They like getting away, and it's a good thing. I hope they don't go back to, well, actually back. I hope they don't go to Arrowhead for training camp. I hope they always keep it somewhere else, like St. Joe.
Wouldn't that be a very NFL thing to do? Not be, we talk about the dichotomy of the different leagues. Some do a better job than others at promoting and making the stars of that sport accessible to the fans. I think that Major League Soccer does a great job. I think that the NBA does a great job, something you talked about with Jarrett. To me, I could totally see the NFL being like, nah, it's more convenient for us. So we don't really care about our fans, and, you know, we're going to do it anyways. I hope that's not the case for the Chiefs, because I think Clark Hunt recognizes the importance of, like I said, the fact that they're a regional team. They're not like the Cincinnati Bengals, for lack of a better example. But I just hope that
one of the worst run franchises in the NFL.
Well, I just meant, I mean, Ohio has two teams and stuff like that. But yeah,
right.
You have to hope that Clark Hunt and the people in the front office who actually do make business decisions recognize stuff like that. And again, want to keep their fans engaged, because at the end of the day, if fans aren't tuning into the games, if fans aren't buying tickets, if fans aren't interested and feel like they're being discredited, they'll find other things to do. Kansas City's a big enough town where there's a lot of stuff to do, you know, so that's where I sit with it.
I wholeheartedly agree. And there are other NFL teams who used to train at faraway places who've now gone back to their insulated bubbles of their home stadium and their home practice facility. God forbid somebody takes the wrong video and the Raiders find out what the Chiefs are up to. You're not going to win a football game by being seen at training camp. But I think there is that mentality around the National Football League, the protectionism. The other thing that Mr. Hunt brought up, and because you can't get away from it anymore, and I hate to go down this road again. You know I avoid politics. I talked a little bit with Jarrett because this story is fresh right now with LeBron James. But Mr. Hunt was asked about the national anthem and the kneeling for the national anthem. And he didn't get too far into it. I think they want to wait to see what the owners and the players come up with, since they're supposed to have these meetings. But his point of emphasis is, look, we've gone to our players, and I guess they've met with certain players on their team. He didn't want to say who they were, protect their, you know, doesn't think that's fair to let us know who's in those meetings. But he made the point of emphasis, look, we do work with all of our players for charities and good causes, and they're required to. I believe it. I know when Carl Peterson was in charge, it was in their contracts. You had to perform X number of days of community service and things like that. And every player who wants to can establish their own charity, their own whatever group that you can help whoever you want. Remember they used to have the banners like over the end of the wall in the end zone, and you had the Wheel Shields Club and you had DT, all that kind of stuff, and the Derek Thomas Foundation. Every player, it seemed like, had their own thing. And the fans would make banners, or the charity would make a banner, they'd lay it over. Then Scapioli said, nah, we're getting rid of the banners. Well, that's a great advertisement for your players. And that's Mr. Hunt's point. He says, we want to work with our players. We'll help them with resources if they need people, and if they need money, they have financial resources as well. And so his point is, we've always engaged with our players. We want to engage more with our players. So the Chiefs are doing what they can here, at least locally, in terms of if you're upset about something, if there's a social issue that concerns you, let's work together. Let's see what we can do. And I think that's positive. But they don't have a total solution yet. And that's something the owners and the players will have to agree on. And the owners made the big mistake of coming out with a policy without talking to the players first. You know, and I'll make one final point on that. There are people who say, well, the players are the employees, and they have to do what the owners say. Well, it's actually a partnership, folks. The Players Association and the owners agree on the rules because they are partners. So I just, that's another thing that bugs me is when people say, oh, they're just employees. They have to do everything the owner says. It's a partnership. It is. I know the owner's the boss. He writes the checks. I get that. You have a contract, but it's a partnership. Without the players, you don't have anything.
I mean, I'll disagree with you because it
is, I mean,
the players are given every right to collectively bargain for what they want. The fact that they didn't have the foresight, and again, it's a much deeper issue.
Right.
So, I mean, the fact that they didn't have the foresight and or aren't willing to give up the check, I do feel like there is a legitimate side to that argument. So, I mean, I get when people say, well, they are employees. I mean, if you don't like it, don't play football.
Right. Well, the players...
You know, I mean, I guess the response that people have, I feel like either way of looking at it is short-sighted. And as you say, people need to recognize that regardless of the situation, they need to treat it as a partnership. Whether we'll ever reach that point, I don't know.
Well, the Players Association has been one of the worst in professional sports at seeing around the corner. They never see around the corner. But that's a story for another time. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back, we'll have a little bit more. We'll see if Nate Bucati is done with his responsibilities, talking to players and coaches. And then when he gets here, we will talk a little Sporting KC and their 1-0 win down in Houston last night that just devolved into boorish and childish behavior. At times it was violent. So we'll talk with Nate about that. You're listening to Sports Sunday. We're live at Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter up here in St. Joe, where it's bright and sunny. It's a little hazy today. Maybe that's just the wind blowing some dirt across the field, but it's hazy in St. Joe. It's like maybe it's because it's humid, giving it that hazy look. Jed Marshall is back in our Rally House Studios. We're anticipating Nate Bucati to be here at some point, but I know he's working on some stuff over with the players and coaches right now. Jed, what did you say, Jed? Okay, we're going to hear from Andy Reid in just a second. Also, we can tick off a couple of the names on the first unofficial depth chart of Chiefs training camp, and specifically punt return and kick return. We talked about some other positions earlier, but we didn't hit punt return and kick return. We might hit that in a second. Right now, let's hear from the Chiefs head coach, Big Red. Here is Andy Reid.
All right. As far as the injuries go, KP did not practice today. O'Daniel didn't practice. Reeser did not practice. Hitchens and Chuck-Andrick West did not practice. The other fellas did, so Reggie was out there and did some stuff. Looked pretty good doing it. And that's what we've got for you. So it was good to get this work in. So today was we call it a long drive drill. We finished the practice with it. It's ones versus ones, and they get themselves 18 plays in a row, and it's game situations as they go. We also had a third and long day, so 7+. So that's good work. It's normally a good day for the defense, and the offense fights like crazy to get positive yards, and that's what they did. They battled each other with it, and again, good work. So all in all, a good day. Got a little bit of heat today, but nothing where the guys couldn't work it. So with that, time's good.
How'd the offense do today?
Yeah, well, in the third and long, it was hit and miss, you know, right, up and down, which normally is the case. Once we got in the long drive drill, then it equaled out. So. Yes, I missed him. So Kamara, he hurt his knee, and then that's where we're at. They're going to take a look at it now. So he's a backup center. So.
And with passing, are some guys like him just getting sort of incremental rest, or is that something?
No. He hurt his foot. Yeah.
Foot. Okay.
Yeah. He should be okay though. He'll be back here next year.
Daniel, Daniel, He wasn't out yesterday.
He got hurt yesterday. Hurt his thumb, and So, but he should be okay too as we go. We're just at our exam room, so.
You're gonna try to get clean out to the game first night.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't got quite that far. You know, normally I go with the ones for a quarter. You know, the whole deal. So you've seen what I do. All the quarterbacks get a quarter, and we kind of roll with it. But we'll see.
I know he's been out for a few days now. I just didn't know how.
Yeah, we'll see how he does here in the next few days.
How much does he need, do you feel like, to get ready for the regular season?
Yeah, well, I think they, you know, it helps if they get some. But we'll see. You know, we'll see how it
goes. When you're in the middle of camp like this, with the heat and all the things that the guys are fighting through, how's a guy like Chris Jones and just the energy he brings, how does that help in these kind of situations?
Yeah, so, you know, he's got that big personality and lets it show out here. And it keeps it alive when you're kind of going through the grind of one of these long practices. So he's one of the parts of that chemistry is developing on that defensive side. So he got some big personalities over there, and I expect him to let their personality show.
You mentioned before, Andy, about the mental mistakes that DeMarcus was not doing as much as, say, years past. Just what have you seen from him from a mental standpoint that has led to more success this camp?
Yeah, so DeMarcus, we're moving him around a lot of different positions. He's doing a nice job with it. And it's important when you're in that role, and this is kind of new for him, right? So it's important that you're always going back and reviewing and staying up on it, because we're still doing our installs here. But he's handled it very well, so I'm proud of him for that.
What does Tim have? He had a pretty big game against Tennessee in the playoff game. What does that do for his confidence, just trying to make an impression?
Yeah, well,
leading into this,
that's right. It can't hurt, which is the obvious. But I think he's built on that. So it's a nice little foundation that he has. He knows he can play, but he knows he's got to continue to grow at that position. Wide receivers takes time. It takes a little time to learn, but he's pounding through that.
But how will the first preseason game differ in game planning than, for example, regular season games? What are you looking to accomplish in this?
Yeah, we just allow the guys to play and play fast. We don't show much. We don't really game plan much, and just show our base stuff and let them go have at it. Most of the things that we work on out here, we file away, and then you can use during the season. So you get a whole conglomerate of plays that you can draw from.
You mentioned earlier that some of these drills benefited the defense. Looked like the defensive line had the edge on the O-line for some of that. How do you feel like they did, and how much is it helping?
Yeah, no, it's a great battle because they know that we're going to throw the ball every down. So we're not doing a lot of run game, and it's 3rd and 7 plus. So there's a certain attitude that you develop in this, and normally the defense is going to win more than they're going to lose in that situation. Along with the blitz game, but it's great. It's great for the offensive line. It's a great gauge for them to work with. And so when they get in the season and in games, there's a certain mentality that you need to, an approach that you need to take in those situations, and they develop it right here.
Do you see with Hitch and Ragland missing time, you see guys like Oligwe and Terrence Smith taking advantage of this opportunity?
And they're both doing a good job. They're young guys that are doing a good job. Smith knows everything. I mean, he's a real sharp kid, and he's put on a little weight, which is good. He was more like a safety last year, and now he's put on a few pounds of good weight and worked like crazy on it this offseason. So he's actually looked very good at it.
Coach, Reggie back out there. How did he look, and what does it mean to have him back?
Yeah, Reggie did a nice job for what we asked him to do, and he really was a partial practice guy, but it was good work getting back into the swing of things. He's got a pretty good feel on what we're doing, so it didn't look like he had lost too much there. He was pretty much up on it, but all the calls and all those things that he's responsible for, it's good to have him out there.
We'll go Adam and then Coach. Hey, what kind of camp is Steve Nelson at for?
I think Steve's had a very good camp up to this point. Yeah. He's playing very confident football, challenging everything. But at the same time, when we're trying to double move him at times, he's playing it smart. So he's got a good feel for things.
You talked about him playing with confidence. Seems like that was coming last year in OTAs, and then you remember he got hurt up here. I mean, is that something new for him, that confidence?
Yeah, he's a confident kid. But I think right now he's comfortable with his game. He's worked like crazy this offseason, and he stays on top of it. He's always challenging himself. I mean, I think he's comfortable with that day in and day out grind. He understands what it takes.
Coach, yesterday Clark Hunt mentioned that there's a bounce in your step.
About that height.
Okay. How much fun are you having building this team?
Yeah, listen, it's a bunch of young guys, and love it, or new guys. I love it. I love the way the veteran players and the coaches are doing their job. They're bringing great energy every day. Everything's not perfect or pretty, I can't tell you that, but the guys are working their tail off. And they keep that up, they're gonna be all right.
All right, thank you.
That is Chiefs head coach Andy Reid after practice today talking about they did the long drive drill where they go through 18 plays, and he said the defense usually wins those things, and they did today. The offense had a couple of good plays, but, whoa, grab that. Sorry, there was an autographed football falling off a table over here, and I had to holler at Charlie to get it before it got ruined. Anyway, so the defense won the drill overall, but the offense did have some good moments. On that note, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Nate Bucati is going to join us, part of the Border Patrol, 6 to 10 weekdays on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk a little Sporting KC and near fisticuffs down in Houston last night. But the important thing is Sporting got the win and the full 3 points. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back at you. This is one of those things. I think Nate Bucati has a debate on what's really hip-hop these days, some of the newer music. To me, it's something like this. You have to have a strong bass line. And record scratches always help. Get the turntables involved. So this qualifies. I like this.
This is old school. This is real stuff.
Nate Bucati joins us now.
Nate,
yeah.
Jed's my man. Jed's going to be reading the, just a programming note for everybody. Jed's going to be reading the Runner's Prayer to kick off the 6th annual Big Steps Toward Cancer Prevention 10K and 5K race on August 19th, which is a Sunday. And he's our man. He's going to read. That's our tradition now. We have a different person read the runner's prayer before the race every time, and Jed's going to do it for us this time.
I've been hearing you talk about it for several weeks on the Border Patrol, and I think it's fantastic. And I was particularly moved. By the way, that's Nate Bucati. My name is Brad Porter. We're at Chiefs training camp. I was particularly moved the story you told about the artwork that I think that was done, and you were conflicted about whether or not to give it to your friend's family and how they would take it, and then you went back to visit. And I think his son has it hanging in his bed.
Yeah,
I'm getting choked up now talking about
it. 6 years ago.
That's so moving, and I'm glad that you help make an impact for that family.
Yeah, you know, it's something that's one of the biggest things we want to do with our foundation is help kids who have either lost a parent to cancer or who have a parent that's battling cancer, because, you know, that takes a huge toll on the family as well.
Right.
You know, and I know from my buddy Sean's case that he was more concerned about his kids than he was himself when he got sick. And, you know, we were all concerned about the idea that, you know, his kids were not going to be able to grow up with their own fully formed memories of their dad, because Millen, his son, was 6 years old when his dad passed away, which it's incredible because 6 years doesn't seem like that long. Like, it seems like it was a blink of an eye that happened, but he's doubled in age. I mean, he went from a little kid in first grade to a teenager now.
And
my cousin John Bucati did a painting of our buddy Sean running the Boston Marathon for the race the first year we did it 6 years ago, and he gave us the originals, a big, you know, oil painting. We gave it to the family, didn't know what they would do with it, didn't know if they'd want it. You know, do you want like a reminder of what you went through hanging on your walls? But we went up to visit him in Chicago this summer, and I went into Millen's bedroom, and that's the one piece of artwork he's got hanging in his bedroom, and I realized, like, that's his dad.
Right.
You know, he gets to look at his dad every night before he goes to sleep, and because of the foundation, we're able to give him memories of who his dad was, and because that's who he is, right?
Like,
we all are a part of who our parents are, and so Camp Kesem's one of the big things that we serve, which is it's a camp for children who have lost a parent to cancer or who have a parent who's battling cancer. The kids are scared. They don't have much to identify with when they go to school because their classmates don't know what they're going through. They can try to be sympathetic, but they're not going through the same thing. go to this camp. You're surrounded by other kids who are going through the exact same thing that you are. It's a shared experience. It's a wonderfully inspiring camp. It's a happy camp. I mean, there's tears, but they're almost tears of joy. It's really incredible. And you become family members with these other kids. And we don't want a kid to have to pay a dime to ever go to this camp. So that's one of the big reasons we want people to race or walk. You can walk, volunteer, run. There's a 10K, a 5K, a 1. Then you can also take volunteers or virtual runners. You can just sign up and basically get a T-shirt and you donate. And all that money goes to helping kids whose parents have cancer or helping prevent people from getting cancer in the first place. So thank you for giving me a couple of minutes, Brad, to talk about it.
Well, it's coming up. It's getting close. Yeah. And I know you've repeated several times that all this money goes to the program.
Yeah.
All the
yeah.
money, there's no –
We're all volunteers. Yeah. We don't have any – our overhead is incredibly low because KU Edwards campus charges us $100 for the facility.
Right.
We got to pay the police and, you know, the running company, takes a little bit of money to cover the cost of putting the race on. But outside of that, like all of our – everybody's volunteer, board of directors, myself, everybody. So the money – and it all stays local. So go to biggsteps.org, biggsteps.org, and help us out. It's just a couple of weeks away.
I know.
2 weeks from today.
You still got work to do, I bet.
Always. We got a meeting tonight. We got a board meeting tonight at my house.
At your house. Yeah. Board meeting sounds like this room full of these stodgy people. It's at your house.
It's at my house. Usually a couple of bottles of wine, and we have some fun together, but we also hash out. And our board of directors is incredible. They all care deeply about Sean and about the organization. And it's always this is the time of year you get paranoid because you're putting on an event. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of organization. And this is our sixth year, so we feel like we know what we're doing.
Right.
But then there's that paranoia of, man, did we forget something?
Yeah.
It's like when you leave the house for a long trip and you
don't
got
have
that
your phone.
Yeah, in the
you
back
don't have
of
your
mind,
charger.
Like, I know I'm forgetting something. What is it? And we go through the meeting every week like, okay, have we thought of everything? Do we have the police lined up? Do we have the restrooms lined up? Do we have the drink stations? Do we have everybody, all the sponsors taken care of? All that stuff. But I think we're going to be set, and they do a great job. So it's been a really fun event.
Good. I'm glad, and I'm happy that you do that, and I love listening to the stories that you guys tell in the morning, and I think that's fantastic. What was not fantastic, as we switch back to sports, was Sporting KC's game last night down in Houston. The good part is Sporting got the 3 points, and they had to have the 3 points. So now they're in a tie for second place, I believe.
Yep, and they actually had the tiebreaker because of goal differential, too. So
they got the win, got the 3 points. That's the important thing. That game was, I don't know, it deteriorated into some childish playground, almost like a fist fight. I mean, it was, I don't know what Houston's motivation was. I know they're not playing well this year, but man, a lot, 3 red cards, that's hard to do. And the referee lost control of the game, I thought.
You know what?
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think it was his fault.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, I felt like he was one of those teachers that just had a rotten classroom that day.
You did say that last,
Like, it was just like, or kids in the sandbox just throwing their toys out. Look, to know the full perspective of it, if you try to put yourself in Houston's shoes a little bit, you can kind of see it because their last home, they're in a rotten stretch, just like Sporting Kansas City. And look, Sporting, you talked about it. Look, to me, it was beautiful because they needed a win.
Right.
However it came, whatever led to it, they needed a win just to get back on the right side of things and change their perspective, because I think the team was pressing and they were feeling the pressure of trying to get on the right side. So they just need to win however they got it. Houston's in the same boat. They're desperate for a win. In their last home game, they lost 3-1. There was a terrible red card in that game that should not have been given on Martinez. Tomas Martinez tried to shoot and score a goal, but he collided with a guy, and as he followed through on the shot, his studs kind of hit the guy in the shin. It was a young referee in that game, and on video review, he ejected him from the game, gave him a red card. It was a terrible call.
Right.
And the league went back and rescinded it, so he didn't have to serve a suspension the next game. But that doesn't go back and reverse the fact that it was a 1-1 game when it happened, and they lost 3-1.
Yeah.
So they already feel like we got a game stolen from us at home because of the refs. Last time we were at home, 14 minutes into this one, they get a straight red card.
Right.
I think it was the right call. You could argue that it might have been a little harsh, but it was a shoulder right into the back of the head.
If the ball was somewhere close and they were both going for a header, maybe.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even close.
He didn't swing his elbow would be their argument, but he shouldered Busio right in the back of the head. But if you're in their shoes and you feel like you already got harshly done by with one a couple weeks ago, now they're mad. And now they're looking for every reason to get chippy with the ref. They're trying to get the ref to even it up by, you know, taking some dives and feigning some fouls that weren't really there, and the ref didn't fall for it, to his credit.
Right.
See, because to me,
he sent a player off for faking an injury over to the sideline.
Yeah, well, which you have to. If the training staff, that's just a rule. The training staff comes out on the field, you got to go out of the game for a second. But to his credit, he didn't fall for it, and I think the players a lot of times expect a ref to go try to even things up once he's put one team down a man.
Right.
And, you know, he didn't fall for it. He said, look, I'm not going to call something that's not there. And so that just made the Dynamo players more and more frustrated. Then once they basically, I think, you had a guy in Albert Elise who had already gotten a yellow in the game, so he knew he was going to be suspended for the next game.
Yeah, so he went and got another
one. I think he was trying to get himself thrown out of the game because it didn't matter at that point. He was tired of being out there. And the ref actually gave him a second and third chance.
Right.
And finally, once he gave him that third chance and the Dynamo players continued to be petulant, he started just handing out red cards.
Right.
Like, okay, fine. I gave you guys your
warnings.
You guys
want them? I got all of them you want.
He went Oprah Winfrey on him. You get a red card. You get a red card. And it just got out of control. But, you know, that's the Dynamo lost composure, and that's their own problem. I'm not worried about them. For Sporting Kansas City, to their credit, they maintained their composure. They handled their business. It wasn't pretty, but they took care of business. They got the goal they needed, and a 16-year-old got the assist,
yes,
which is incredible. So I think it's onward and upward for Sporting KC. I mean, I think it was a desperately needed win.
You mentioned Gianluca Busio. He's 16 years old. He got into his first game last week, I believe,
yep,
right?
Yep.
He made his first Major League start, third youngest player ever in Major League Soccer history at 16 years old. I know you got a big player crush on Matt Beisler. And I love Matt because I haven't known Matt since he was 15 or 16.
Right.
I've been covering him. But this Busio kid, just watched him. I've seen him on the backfields before, and I'm not qualified to scout a guy, but you can tell who stands out and who doesn't. I'm thinking maybe, you know, World Cup 2022, this guy ought to be in the mix a little bit. I mean, he's pretty damn good. And that's my overreaction, by the way.
Well, look, we've seen that guys can burst onto the scene in the matter of a year or two. You know, look, the year after the World Cup 4 years ago, nobody knew who Christian Pulisic was.
Correct,
And now he's like the guy on the team and maybe the best player in national team history. There's a wave of young guys that are getting opportunities. It's going to be very interesting to see where Busio's career goes from here. You mentioned those other two guys that were younger than him. Freddie Adu was one.
Right.
That was a nightmare. You know, his career was mishandled.
He was not ready. Yeah.
And the league wasn't ready for him, and he wasn't ready for the league back then. The league is ready for young players now because Gianluca Busio's played six games at the USL level. He's been training with the first team for over a year now.
Right.
They didn't just throw him out there and say, be a star for us at 15 years old. They've worked him up to this point. They were clear to make the point yesterday. He's earned this opportunity on the field with what he's done in training, what he's done with Swope Park Rangers. Remember, Swope Park Rangers didn't even exist 3 years ago.
Right,
or
exactly.
4 years ago. And so the league is more ready to bring these guys along and get them their opportunities to play. The second guy who was younger is Alfonso Davies, who just got sold by Vancouver Whitecaps to Bayern Munich, one of the top five clubs
Huge
in the entire
club.
World,
yeah,
for $13 million, possibly $22 million, depending on incentives. That's the kind of trajectory Gianluca Busio has himself on right now. If he continues to play well and improve what he's capable of. What impressed me was he walked out on the field. Peter Vermees said after the game he was the man of the match.
Right.
He didn't look out of place. He didn't look overwhelmed by the situation. You could see the intelligence with which he plays. And then when they needed a ball to break down the other team, he was the guy that had that pass, that one pass to unlock the defense to set Rubio up for the goal. So couldn't have gone better for him, as far as I'm concerned. It was incredible to see.
The assist. I think the assists always get overlooked because when you see the highlights on, say, it's a national television show, they're going to focus on the guy scoring the goal. Obviously, that's the highlight. The assists I love because I like to see how things are set up. And so, from my angle, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Gianluca was facing backwards in front of the box, and he tipped it up with his foot right to Rubio, who's running in front of him. Rubio chests it down and fired. I can't tell you if I've ever seen something like that before.
It's a great ball that's a classic ball that a number 10 plays. The attacking midfield, they call it pulling strings. And he pulled the string there to set that thing in motion. But what impressed me the most, Matt Lawrence did a great job of chronicling it during the game, as he was checking to the ball, you know, his back is the goal, like you said, you can watch on the replay. He looks over his right shoulder to make sure there's not a defender there. He looks over his left shoulder, and he knows that Rubio is going to be making that run. Then he looks the opposite way to look the defense away, and it's just one touch off the side of his foot right through. And that's like, you know, we talk about quarterbacks out here. They need to know where everybody is on the field. They have to almost have eyes in the back of their head at times. That's a veteran play. That's the kind of play that Benny Failhaber used to always about making. Is he was always telling me about how when you're a center midfield, you've got to be checking your shoulder at all times to know who's behind you and who's making the runs. For a 16-year-old to have that kind of awareness on a soccer field in that moment, that's special.
All right, got about 30 seconds here. Who you got on the border patrol tomorrow, 6 to 10?
I just had a chance to talk to Byron Pringle, former K-State Wildcat.
Right. I like him.
I think making some noise out here in camp.
Absolutely.
And he did here again today. So I talked with him and Tramon Smith.
Yeah.
A fellow sneakerhead.
Okay.
He's got Jordan 11 football shoes out here. They look like Jordan 11s on top, but they got the cleats on the bottom. He recognized my J3s, and we also talked a lot about playing defensive back out here. I think he's got a real good chance to make the team as a special teamer and defensive back as well. Those will both be on the board of patrol tomorrow.
Thank you, Nate. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
good
Brad.
Show today. We had former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson, and he signed a bunch of autographs out here. Jarrett Sutton, Nate Bucati, good show. Charlie Carlin, thanks for your help. Jed Marshall, thank you. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Baseball Tonight is next.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.